what if we can show this culture, these stories to other people, not just here? That kind of thought is how most of our leadership and even some of our junior members are driven, because that's the core of it. It's like we have so much to show as a country, which has not been exposed. Like India never shows up on the gaming radar in terms of content. But if you look at the stories that we generate, like be it Bollywood, TV series, music, there's a lot to offer clearly that the country has. So why not offer it in the most interactive format?
Hi, I am Sophie Vaux, and this is the Rise and Play podcast. A few weeks ago, I had a wonderful and transformative experience in India during IGDC, and I want to share the key learnings with you. Great leadership comes from everywhere, and I want to bring perspectives from the East to the West so that we can continue learning from each other. In this special series, I am sitting down with five studio founders to offer a broad perspective on the gaming ecosystem in India now, ranging from early stage companies to more mature stages, from bootstrap to VC-backed, from casual to mid-core, serving the global or the local market. Are you ready to challenge your beliefs and perception? Let's begin. So hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Rise and Play, and today we are in the special series that I'm building, not with a cat, don't mind the cat, but in the background, but the special series about Indian gaming and Indian studios, and the studios that I've met after I traveled from IGDC, and among some of them was Mayhem Studio that I got really excited about, and I met over there Ojas Vipat, who's the CEO and co-founder of Mayhem Studio. So Ojas, you've been the former head of product at PUBG South Asia, and also you've been a gamer yourself, playing shooter games, playing a lot of games as well, even before you started the company. Welcome, Ojas. Nice to see you again after a few weeks.
Thanks a lot, Sophie. It's a pleasure to be here as well. People are very glued into what's happening in the country, how the shooters and Battle Royale games are really catching steam. But outside India, few people know about this phenomena and also us or the studio in general. So it's a pleasure to meet.
So I'm curious, what has been your journey as you were working in games before on product, on mobile shooter? What have you discovered and what led you to, okay, this is the moment for me in my personal or professional life. I'm going in the crazy journey of entrepreneurship and build my own studio.
Sure. So maybe I'll answer the question in three separate dimensions. Like one is what I was doing. Second is what was happening in India. And third is maybe what was happening from a player perspective, like as a player, the second being the market and the third being the player. So back when I started my career, like this is now maybe 14, 15 years ago, the default choice for people was to go into established companies. That's what our parents' generation taught us. Like go into not startups. Startups was a very risky word back then. Like there weren't any also. So it was like going to established companies. So that's how even I started consulting early on. After doing that for a while, like the question for me personally was, well, what do you really like doing? What do you love doing? And the answer was pretty clear, as pretty much most of the people hearing this. I was an avid gamer since childhood, played so many games. And at that time, when I looked around, I was like, okay, if I want to make a job in gaming, and I looked across India, there wasn't much, like you rightly pointed out. Sort of like back office is a little bit derogatory word, but sort of like not the main development hub, I would say. Games which are nearing sunset, or which are, you know, in the live ops phase, not growing, or sometimes even like outsourced work would come to India quite a lot. So there were quite a lot of studios which did fantastic work, to be honest, but they were not recognized as gaming studios at that time. So from a market perspective, India at that time, much like the other things that were happening, was an outsourced dominated country at that time. With the exception that some new studios like Zynga, like where I worked, which is Kiwi, and others were coming up, which were servicing Western markets, but building their development center here. And the trend was India has great tech talent. So that was the next phase of the evolution where my personal journey also interacted with gaming there. And the market also started becoming open to at least more tech product oriented work happening in India. That's how the Zyngas and the other studios in India kind of got established. From a player standpoint, it was still like pretty casual games being top of the charts here. Not a lot of content that was very heavily consumed. People were not playing social games as much. It was mainly like single player casual games. And then I'll skip the in-between phases. And then we come to like maybe a few years ago when, for example, when I was at PUBG, I saw it firsthand. A major trend shifting from people having more ways to pay, digital markets opening up, smartphone, mobiles really exploding in the country. And the share of money that all these global shooter games started making in India went up significantly. That's the big shift that happened. The people who don't have their games published in India or people who are not looking at the country as closely will be surprised to know this, but a lot of Battle Royale games make a lot of money in India. Like this is triple digit million dollars per year in India. And that shift is what I firsthand noticed myself. And the players, talking about the third dimension, the players noticed by large scale esports tournaments, people paying really attention to India. Like, okay, here's a tournament for your country, for your city. You can participate. You can become a sports champion. You know, so that's kind of how I've seen this evolve till now. So Mayhem, what we are doing is basically trying to build for India because we believe the next phase from here on is India going to be a gaming powerhouse. And just like entertainment, Bollywood movies are famous across the globe, we are hoping that, let's call it Bollywood games, will be famous across the globe as well. So that's what we are building here out of Bangalore.
Mm. And before we get more into Mayhem Studios as a studio itself, I wanted to understand also more of the trend of esports. Who is the emerging community of esports in India? Are there young people, super young people, or are there people like millennials that suddenly found, I don't know, a place to play games? And where, what have you seen as a trend that is very specific to India in esports?
Sure. So one of the things that India is very different from other countries is that we usually skip one technological phase in general. So like in case of gaming, we skipped the console completely. We went from like PC slash pre-console, which were like your Nintendos, to directly mobile. So very few traditional gaming parlors and people playing PC and esports on that exist. And that's the big difference, because of which also the gaming population, because phones are quite cheap. India has like 700-800 million smartphones in the country now. And everyone essentially has access to a gaming device in that sense. So the young population sees that. And we as a country are also, like cricket is a big thing, right? It brings out like, I'm the best kind of, I want to play and compete. And there are many, many other sports also, which are quite popular and gaining popularity with IPL and other formats of leagues that are happening for badminton, hockey, other games. In a very similar fashion, slowly and steadily, esports has started growing in that dimension as well, where people are not just looking at that as, okay, I'll go weekend and maybe have a pizza and, you know, do something with my friends. It's like, no, I'm serious. I'm preparing for it. We have professional teams. Quite a lot of people who have changed, switched careers and became team managers. There's money flowing in where global esport companies are creating their India branches as well. So it's starting to become, in a way, quite evolved, specifically for mobile. And mostly for shooting games, like most of the esports happens in the shooter genre because that's what people like to watch as well. It's the most action-packed. So that's where I think the evolution is happening. And another interesting fact, like some of these prize pools are starting to go and become pretty significant, like 300K, 400K prize pools are coming up in India now. And that's for something that happens every quarter or every few months,
wow,
right? So,
yeah.
So it's becoming significant. Like the purchasing power parity wise, 300K, 400K is a huge amount in India.
Yes.
Where you can actually get to do a lot in that. So there are some quite happy trends to see. And we as a company also would be very focused on esports once we go live, because we believe that in the long run, that's a great way for players to make their own content, feel involved, have like kind of sportsman like following or playing or watching, like one of the kind of domains.
Wow, super, super nice. And I've seen the excitement of it when I was at IGDC, because there was some competition, I think, with Super Gaming as well. At least I've seen that more on the social media, which made me realize. And there was quite a lot of conversation, and then revealed companies focusing on mobile shooters. And the fact that when I saw this, like, what is happening? And now you explain as well the trend. But something I've also saw, which is quite refreshing, is to see quite a lot of young girls, you know, teenager girls, getting really into the competition. And it's such an inclusive community in a way where it's it creates opportunity and accessibility. Like, if you like to play games, you want to be competitive, you want to be part of a team. So very energetic as well community I've seen. And that's where I have, it changed my perspective of mobile shooter as, oh, just a shooter, but more the community you build and the experience you build, which happens in and outside of a game.
That's one of the things I think is key. Like, people think that like shooting as a genre is, you know, like, why is it running? Why has it been running for so long? Why is it like an evergreen genre? And the reason is that like it provides a way for different skill levels and different kind of people and different backgrounds and different whatever aspects of them to find a common ground quite easily. It's very easy to teach somebody how to play a shooting game. It's like, here's the screen. Like, on the left side, just move, and it's very easy, like very intuitive. On the right side, now people have four fingers and six fingers, so I won't get into that. But usually, for a normal beginner, on the right side is how you shoot, and that's it. And that's very easy compared to some of the other genres out there, right? So getting into it is quite easy, and mastering it is quite hard. And that makes a lot of people kind of pile into, from all backgrounds, from all cultural, socio-economical, as well as gender and all of that mixed in, to try it out at least. And then it builds a community. Oh, you know, did you see that person take that shot? Because you are aware of the skill that it requires. So that's why I see this genre staying for as long as gaming exists, in a way, because new innovations will keep coming up, but the base genre is just so easy and so action-packed and so great that it will stay.
Mm. And let's also begin the journey of how you started Mayhem Studio, as I believe it started with you. I was curious more to hear about your, you have a team of co-founders, how you started it, and as you were clear that you wanted to get into the genre of mobile shooter, how did you get into building your first game, your team? Who funded you? If you could give more context about it as well.
So we basically have a leadership team here. I'm the founder, but there are quite a lot of folks in the senior leadership team with us. We are a Series A company right now. $20 million is what we raised last. And the idea here is that we believe that this is going to happen. Like, India is going to be one of the big destinations for people to build games for. And we believe that being in the market and building for the market gives us a unique insight into it. And this is not just belief from just a you know, intuitive belief, but also looking at trends in Japan, how industry started there, or Korea, or even China, for that matter. Specifically, countries which started a little bit later on the gaming journey have had a very similar pattern. So we are at that juncture where India is going to explode in further. Like, last year itself, I would say $2 billion in revenue in games. And this is going to go to like 7 or 8 billion in the next 3-4 years, which is incredible growth. About the company, so we started in 2022 officially. before that, we were kind of a strategic unit within a larger company called MPL in India. And how it started is that we were always looking, like I was obviously involved with PUBG and really grateful and proud of what we did there. And also thankful for the team there who kind of trusted me with that journey. But there came a point where the game kind of got banned. And we were thinking, like I was personally thinking what to do. And this was always something as a kid, you know, you have a dream of, I mean, a lot of the people who will listen to this, especially from India, will relate to this. Like there's a dream of like, well, what if it is made for the country? Like, and what if we can show this heritage, this culture, these stories to other people, not just here. And that kind of thought is how most of our leadership and even some of our junior members are driven, because that's the core of it. It's like we have so much to show as a country, which has not been exposed. Like India never shows up on the gaming radar in terms of content. But if you look at the stories that we generate, like be it Bollywood, TV series, music, there's a lot to offer clearly that the country has. So why not offer it in the most interactive format we believe is the most engaging format of entertainment. From there on, we got the great investors on board. We started working on earlier a prototype of the game. We had quite a few themes to choose from. And this one, Underworld Gang Wars, it's kind of an homage to Bollywood. And then the map, for example, in a battle royale game, the map is very important because it's almost like how you play depends on how the map is, with the level and the world and visuals, and also where the loot is placed, vehicles are placed. So it's a very, very key factor. So we did an extensive research of trying to figure out how to build this. Again, we wanted to pay homage to India in general. So there's not one city you can say our map is based on. In fact, we even if we make a structure, you won't be able to say this is the place that this structure is found in India. It's a mishmash. It's almost like a mayhem of what happens in an artistic standpoint in the country. We picked the best from everywhere and kind of made Dhantara. This will be an exciting journey because the growth opportunity is immense, but the challenges are also very unique because it's almost like we are also building the industry and the talent. We are building the airplane while flying in some ways. So we just have the seat below us and a few passenger seats next to us and the engine in the air. So that's kind of the experience that we have, which is why joining now will be a fantastic opportunity for anyone who wants to explore and see like exponential growth out of a country that's about to kind of become a global player, so to say.
And so just some questions, some follow-up questions on about Underworld Gang Wars. Where are you with the game right now? I was looking also at your public data, and it seems you have 6 million people who pre-registered. So where is that audience? Is it local, global? You said you built first for India and then scale later. So could you share more a bit about the game and when we can expect to see more?
The game is right now in a closed alpha testing. What that means is people come to our office every 4 to 6 weeks. This is a group of players who come and play the game, give us core game feedback, which we can collect, improve. These are like basics. Like we believe where the magic is in the details, like the feel of the gun and the feel of the movement and the feel of the animation. It's hard to get right. And that's what we are testing with these folks because they've essentially played so many games and they play and love them so much that they're able to exactly pinpoint and help us with that. In terms of where the game's demand is coming from, so we have crossed, I think, 6.5 million pre-registrations now. The demand is mainly coming from like stuff that we are putting out. Like we posted a trailer sometime last year. We have over 20 million views on that trailer itself. We've been putting out content on various social media channels. We've been showcasing snippets of gameplay. And we've been also like players really resonate with the theme, the characters, the map, the story. It's almost like they really wanted to see this. And there's a lot of feedback on when are you going to launch and why is it not coming sooner? And I just want to say, so that's the part that where I'm not saying much right now, because things like this take time. We also appreciate the love that we are getting, and we want to handle that love with care. We don't want to release something that is not up to the mark for our players, because we understand what they, we being players ourselves, we know what the quality that players are expecting. So we are slow cooking, we are making sure it's cooked well, and then once it's there, like we'll be announcing next set of steps pretty soon on how we are going to go public from here on.
What are the benefits of building for you a mobile shooter in India for the Indian market, but also the challenges? And you've touched on some of them, but I would like to spend some time on that question, and maybe for the listeners, how, you know, if they want to collaborate in the future, help you deliver that mission of bringing, you know, more games like this to the market, Indian market, and globally eventually.
I mean, the opportunity size is large, first of all. Like I was talking about the market growing exponentially. Mm-hmm. If we are able to, or when we are able to get to this stage of, we are able to meet our player expectations, which will happen very soon, the demand is just unfathomable. Like there is 800 million devices, like I mentioned, and what happens year on year is this grows, this number grows dramatically. People's phones increase, people's RAM increase, appetite increase, paying propensity increase. So we are going to see a tremendous demand. That's the biggest opportunity. The second one also is building shooters is tough in itself. So even globally, on mobile, very few companies are actually able to build shooters. So in a way, that's also an opportunity. It can be thought of as a challenge, but we like to think of it as a moat, as an opportunity. Like it's not easy to build a mobile shooter. You really have to invest a lot of time in getting it right. So that is also a great opportunity for us, because once we have done that, once you have the engine built, Underworld Gang Wars 2, 3, some other variants, there are so many stories and characters to present and so many various innovations which are unique to how we are as a country and how our kind of people think, that bringing it out in a game can introduce a lot of innovation in the game format, in the art style, in the characters, in it will feel like a completely different game. Just as an example of like when you learn a new language, or when you look at a new style of art, or when you hear a different kind of genre of song, there is something else that opens up in your brain, right? And difference, we believe, is in the details. It's not like, you know, just giving an example, instead of shooting in Battle Royale games, we'll introduce some levitating as a new mechanic. No, it's about the nuances of difference of notes, or you know, in musical instruments have different kinds of sounds. Similarly, gaming has a different feel of each shooting game feels different, and that's what we are trying to build, and that's hard to explain till you play it. So in terms of challenges, while the opportunity set is big, the challenges are on really finding great talent who's built and done this before, because this is kind of the first generation of studios. Us being kind of the leaders here in that sense are also, like I mentioned, creating the market. We know there's a lot of potential. There are great, talented people in the country, but people who've been there and done this before are not too many. And that's where the challenge is. So it can be looked at as an opportunity on from external perspective of, well, if the country is going to grow so big, and kind of the first layer, first generation of startups are rising now. If somebody makes it, here in time, they can be like the wizard of Indian gaming. That's where the challenge and the opportunity is at the same time. Where India is great is in product, in design, in art also, I would say, because of a lot of outsourcing work we've done. But where we need more support is on the getting the technical art aspect of it, the engineering aspect of it, with respect to like making a multiplayer on bad network with a low sort of device work pretty well, which globally also is a tough challenge that I think maybe China is the only country I think has solved really, really well. So that's kind of the challenge side of it. It's a very fairly technical and nuanced challenge, but that will bring about a new set of talent in the country from either abroad or from our own like kind of generation of colleges and schools and people who are interested in gaming, taking up courses and learning and then trying out building games themselves. So that's kind of what I think about it, Sophie.
I hope among the listeners, whether they are working full-time or consultants, experts, wanting to, you know, expand their horizon, there's an opportunity to participate in making that happen, accelerate, because it's not a question of if, but when and how. And a great opportunity also to level up a generation of engineers, talents in India who maybe didn't have the opportunity to learn from all the big companies on those games, those big games, but having the ambition to really serve in India. So I hope as well that resonates with some of you as you hear today, Ojas, and get in touch because the need is there, the need on the player side, but the need also on development side, and accelerate just, for the execution of the game, but also impact on, I would say, the ecosystem of game development in India.
Completely agree. This is going to happen like it's happened in some other industries. Giving an example of like in general, like let's say food tech in India is supremely good, like really, really talented folks. And the products that are made here are top notch, like really good. It's just waiting to happen on gaming. Like even in my lifetime, the changes I've seen in the country are exponential. And I think the next 5 to 10 years are going to be even more so with the way that things are progressing. It's going to be pretty, pretty explosive growth for anyone who wants to make that shift.
Yeah. And for the last part, I wanted to spend just our last 5 to 10 minutes more on retrospective. I know it's not been long, like 2022. I always like to reflect more on the leadership, reflection and points. What are the key things that comes to mind for you, like almost 2 years in the company, first time, I guess, founder, CEO, the things you have done and you thought they were right, looking back, okay, you've learned something. So what are the things that comes on top of your mind as learnings?
I mean, the first big learning was when we started, we were like, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. Honestly, we started with that. In a way, that's good. Like you require that kind of, I would say, stupidity to take on something this massive, and this people call it courageous. They call it like great, enormous opportunity and challenge and all that. We were honestly quite stupid. We thought it's very easy. That is a big learning. We don't think of it as easy now, but we do think of it as we know better how to do certain things and we are still learning some other things. Like, so there's a bit nuanced approach to it. The second was like the talent shortage was not as apparent then. So we thought that, okay, it's going to be quite easy. But then we realized that the nuance of how you build a game like this is almost different from any other kind of tech. Like it's not as easy as translating someone who's really good at, let's say, React Native or, just native Android to just transition over and make something in Unreal Engine or Unity. It's not as easy. So that's another one. So we've now found some, over time, rather found some great folks there as well. Though that skill gap and that talent gap still exists. If we put together the kind of people we need for the next 5 years, there's no way that we will be able to find them unless we build that capability in the country So that's kind of been our second biggest learning. So we do get folks, experts on board who come and help the team learn and skill and develop, and you know, that kind of is also a focus area and learning for us over time. The third one, I would say, as a person, like, also for me, learning is, I would just encapsulate it in patience. Like, it's a marathon. Unlike, like, I've worked on casual and mid-core before as well, and it's a very different, like, not just in building, but also you basically, you're looking at D1 conversion, right? D1 conversion, you're looking at your early funnels and what your starter pack did and things like that. Here, it's completely different ball game compared to that. Building and product-wise, people need to like your game first, and then they will pay. Whereas in other genres, people need to first get into the game and find something that either is like a semblance of a paywall or is, you know, something that is incentivizing them to open their wallet up. So it's a very different use case. So patience in both aspects on how you build a shooter game and also how the player will perceive, both require thinking in a more marathon kind of way. What does it take for a player to play this game for 10,000 hours, for 5,000 hours, for 4 hours every day? Like that is kind of the question, rather than how do we quickly go out there and get like UA done and get people in and convert them. And so that's something I've learned also personally over time. And the last one would be more around just honestly the fortunate people we have supporting us. When I say that, I'm including players who are patiently waiting, still pre-registering every month, looking at the content, giving us feedback, helping us improve. Second set is our stakeholders and investors. Like we have some of the best investors out there, you know, introducing us to folks, helping us on this journey. And stakeholder wise, also a lot of our partners and people we work with, for a lot of them also, this is the first time they're seeing something as big being made in the country. They're also helping us. And the last is our people, like the people who are on this journey. I would say we are a very special, unique kind of set of folks who are quite chaotic and mayhem in general. But we have our own unique footprint on trying to do this. But mostly, I would say most of the folks I can say are driven by that one piece of thing, like, well, this needs to happen. Like, I have also thought about this and I have also dreamt about this. So this needs to happen. And it's a very hard approach in that sense. So, yeah, I mean, that's maybe that should be the first one. But I always keep players first.
Yeah. And my very last question to finish on an aspirational thought. What do you look forward to the end of the year? With something that you can share, of course.
We are planning to do a community playtest before the end of the year, which is like kind of calling in some of our well-wishers and players and stakeholders into our office. So I wish for that to be fantastic and for people to really have fun. And other than that, like in general, I would say for the next year to be the year of gaming for India. Like that's my wish.
I think there will be much more attention from next year. There was something really exceptional that happened at IGDC this year, where it was a momentum, where a lot of visibility and PR and social media to make it big. So I expect more will happen next year. And I also make sure to spread the word. So
thank you so much. I hope so too. I mean, like I said, it's coming from, there are quite a few stories we want to tell. There's a lot of that kind of thought process. And there's also a lot of talent that wants to express its creativity. Like, I think India has a lot of talent, like we discussed before. But the way to creatively express your, you know, innate feelings or emotions or stories or characters, there are very few outlets, especially in the tech world. if you think about it. So gaming offers a very, very fantastic way to do that. So I feel like that's also something that will play a role.
And for the listeners, follow Mayhem, the social media, stay in touch. And if you live in India, because I'm sure I have listeners as well from India now, well, stay around to check what are the future playtests and get in touch with the community. Thanks a lot, Ojas, for your time today and sharing, giving more visibility on what you're doing. It sounds super exciting. And I really look forward to seeing, you know, your development next year and see you maybe sometime in Europe, or I probably come back to India sooner than later if, some conversation goes forward as well on my end.
That's awesome. Yeah, look forward to it. And thanks a lot for this opportunity and wishing you the best as well. I hope that you're also as fascinated by this journey and growth. And you also find opportunities to work with us and in general with the community in India.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm sure I will. Thank you, Ojas. Thanks for listening to this latest episode of the Rise and Play podcast. I am growing a community of conscious leaders across the industry and beyond. If you want to join this movement, please share the podcast with other conscious leaders, because we have so much more we can learn from each other. If you've enjoyed this episode, please follow and rate the show on Spotify or your other favorite podcast platform. It will help other growing leaders to discover the show and benefit from the valuable insights. If you would like to grow rapidly your leadership skills, you can find more insights on riseandplay.io, where you will also find my free masterclass on conscious leadership and other resources that I offer. Have a great week, and remember to take care of yourself. Until the next time,